Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John, if you'd like to follow along. 1 John chapter 3 is where I'd like to begin this morning. 1 John chapter 3, very familiar passage. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, I don't know how long we'll spend on this passage, but as I begin to study this, it just kept getting bigger and bigger, just kind of exploded. And so whatever time we spend here, if it's just today and no further than today, then if nothing else, I'd like to leave with you this morning, impress upon your minds, maybe I should say, ask the Lord to impress upon your mind the manner of love that he hath bestowed upon us. John says, behold, what manner of love. Behold. Take note. Pause. Perceive. Discover. Pay attention to. There's a lot just in that one word. Behold. John is about to write something very important. And moved by the Holy Spirit, inspired of God to pin this down, he exhorts us to behold, to observe, to examine. And the way that this is written actually is calling on us to not only examine and observe and discern and take note of, but to reflect on or meditate on what should be done in response to what he's about to say. Behold. John says, I'm about to write something for you to take note of and then to meditate on what you should do in response to what I'm about to write. Behold. Behold what manner of love. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And it's both a question and an exclamation. I've wondered about the punctuation that we find in Scripture, but obviously, I think, blessed of the Lord, the King James translators inserted the punctuation where it was needful and based on their, I think, again, being led of the Spirit, not inspired as it was originally pinned down, but blessed to have an understanding of God's Word, to insert the punctuation for it to be more easily understood by the reader. They could have just as easily, instead of a period at the end of verse 1, could have easily put an exclamation point as well as a question mark, causing us to not only be amazed or provoking us not only to be amazed, but also to reflect, to question, to consider in reflection. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This manner of love, and we'll dive into in just a moment. But notice he says, this manner of love, this love he hath bestowed upon us. The love of God, the love of the Father that he hath bestowed upon us. Neither offered nor simply handed it out for us to take or to place it out there for us to hopefully find. This manner of love God has bestowed upon us. There's a lot of people out in the world, when you begin to think about, or when you begin to talk about the work of God in an individual's life being irresistible, in the sense that when God changes the heart of an individual, it is changed. And that when God sends forth the Spirit of his Son into an individual's heart, that he doesn't ask permission, he just simply sends the Spirit into our hearts. When you begin to think about it, and some people call it irresistible grace, however you want to whatever you want to, whatever terminology you want to use, whatever phrase you want to put on it, when you begin to talk about God's sovereign power in the matter of salvation and in the matter of his love and grace and mercy towards his people, for some reason people, they want to back away from that. They don't want to go along with a God that somehow does things without our permission. How ridiculous. As though God needed permission to do anything. This manner of love, this love of the Father, he hath bestowed upon us, placed upon us. And without God's bestowing love, we would never turn to him. Amen? Without his bestowing grace upon us, we would never turn towards him. Never. Never. No matter how long we lived, no matter how many sermons we heard, no matter how many people prayed for us, without God the Father bestowing his grace and love upon us, we would never turn to him. What manner of love? Behold, think about, observe, and then meditate on what you should do in response to what John has said. Behold, what manner of love. Now let's look a little bit closer, a little bit more closely at this manner of love. In the fourth chapter of this same epistle, John writes this. Chapter 4, beginning, let's begin with verse 7. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Do you love the Lord this morning? It's because he loved you first, right? And do you have a love for the brethren? That is the love of God that he has bestowed upon you, that you are showing towards your brethren. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. There is no love, not this kind of love. There may be natural affection. There might, and there certainly is lust. And there's friendship and fellowship and all of these other relationships. But there is no other love other than what comes from God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It is of him. It is from him. And in fact, he says, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Love is a beautiful fruit. Beautiful fruit of the Spirit, a manifestation of the Spirit of God dwelling within the heart, love. And he encourages us to love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It really says nothing about what we know within our minds, but it says everything about what we know within our hearts, the love of God. We may know very little in the mind. We may have very little knowledge. We may have very little gospel knowledge, if any at all, but we have the love of God. If the love of God is shed abroad in an individual's heart, it doesn't matter what they know in the head. The love of God moves them. The love of God leads them. The love of God constrains them, motivates them. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Not only is love of God, but God is love. God is love. Now, here's what I wanted. And this was manifested, the love of God. This is how the love of God was made known. John said, Behold, what manner of love. That's what we want to do this morning, Lord willing. And if he would impress upon your hearts the manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold it. Observe it. Meditate on it. And then determine what to do in response to it. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love. Some of you can quote this. I wish all of you could. I wish I could. Herein is love, not that we loved God. Oh, there's love there. Absolutely. We love God. But we love God, again, why? Because he first loved us. So what the love that we have for God is, I don't want to say it's simply a reflection. I don't want to sound like it, make it sound like it's just simply a reflection, only a reflection. God has implanted his love. It's bestowed upon us, and it's bestowed in the heart. And so therefore it is implanted. It is implanted within us, and we then show that love, not only back to him, but towards one another. And this was manifested. This is love. This is pure love, John is saying. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We have every reason to love God, don't we? Amen? We have every reason to love God. If God has done anything, if God has done one thing for us, if God has even looked our way, so to speak, we have every reason in earth and in heaven to love God. We have every reason in time and in eternity to love God. Herein is love. Not that we love God. That's not the greatest manifestation. That's not the most pure manifestation of love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. I know I've asked the question before, and many others have asked the question also, why did God love us? I say that we have every reason to love God. What reason did He have to love us? Because you're so lovable? Because you're so good? Because why? Why did He love any one of us? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Why did God love us? He chose to love us. He chose to love us. When He had no other reason to love us. And you could say, well, He was bound by a covenant. Well, that's true, but how did that covenant come about? He chose to make that covenant. Covenant with Himself, a covenant with His Son, a covenant with the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Within this covenant, they chose to love a people. A great multitude of people. We'll get over there to that maybe eventually. But herein is love. Here's the greatest manifestation, the most pure manifestation of love, is that God loved us. Behold, what manner of love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I can't pronounce that word very well, but I have an idea of what it means. In fact, it simply means atonement, to make an atonement for our sins, to be the propitiation. But to make an atonement for our sins, to be a propitiation for our sins, required that He be the sacrifice for our sins. There's a word in one of our songs, and the word is expiation. Sometimes we sing it that way, but I think it's expiation. To expiate, to be the sacrifice for sins, to be a sacrifice that fully satisfied the demand. Now here's the purest manifestation of love, is that God sent His Son, and perhaps we'll see before we get through that His Son came willingly. His Son willingly sacrificed Himself for us. This is the purest, the most pure manifestation of love, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Behold, what manner of love. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, another very familiar passage, and I'm hitting some very familiar passages this morning. It's not because I didn't have anything else to preach about. It's because this is all I had to preach. It is, in a sense, this is all I had to preach about, because this is all I've been studying the last few days. Romans chapter 5, behold what manner of love. This is the manner of love. Observe and discern and examine, take note, lay hold of, and meditate in such a way that you would be driven to respond in some way. How do we respond when we see what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? You know, we get love and we get that mixed up so often with our feelings and emotions, right? Love does excite the feelings and emotions. It should, but love itself is not an emotion. It is not a feeling, but it does excite the emotions and feelings. We get all of that confused when we love somebody today, but we don't love them tomorrow. And what's really going on is we just don't feel like showing our love. We don't feel like showing our love today like we did yesterday. And we get all that confused. But love is not that way. Love is steadfast. Love remains. Love is love regardless of what we're feeling and what our emotions are telling us. Some days you feel like you love God more than other days, don't you? Some days you feel like showing your love for the Lord more than you do at other times. It works that way with husbands and wives and parents and children and with all of us. Sometimes we feel more like showing our love. The love remains. The love is there. True love, pure love, the love that comes from God, it remains. In chapter 5 of Romans, behold what manner of love. Paul writes, when we were yet without strength, verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Why did God love us? Why did God send his Son to be the propitiation for our sins? Why did Christ die for the ungodly, those who did not love him? Would you do that? Would you do something? Would you do anything for someone who did not, well, more than just did not like you? In fact, as you well know, in our condition, we were actually at enmity against God. Would you do that for someone who, in fact, had no ability? Think about it now. Who had no ability. I mean, you go in, okay, you want to form a relationship with somebody, and you go in and you want to show them how much you care for them, knowing full well that they had no ability, not just no desire, but no ability to care about you. No ability. But now, in the case with Christ, that was the only way that those whom the Father loved could ever have the desire or the ability to love him and to love the Father, is that he died for them. That was the only way they could ever have any hopes, have any desire or ability to love him. He had to die first. We don't work that way, do we? We want to see something in return before we go to that kind of sacrifice. Before we go to that extent, we want to see something in return. You know, I'll show a little, you give a little, and back and forth, and we'll, you know. But Christ was not that way, because we couldn't. Christ had to die. Christ had to sacrifice for our sins. He had to offer himself as a sacrifice to God before we, whom the Father loved, could ever have any desire or ability to love him back. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What are we talking about? Behold, what manner of love. What manner of love. Do you deserve his love? You know better than that, don't you? What do we deserve? We deserve right the opposite, right? And from a human standpoint, that's, you know, somebody that doesn't like us, somebody that is not willing to go along with us, somebody that, in fact, you compare our condition, dead in sin. We despised God in our natural state. As a fallen sinner, you and I despise God. Our human nature is an enemy to God. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. See, while we were still in that condition, we were reconciled to God. We were brought out of that condition, and now there's peace. Reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Behold what manner of love. Behold what manner of love. Look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 10. Let's get a few verses in John chapter 10. Behold what manner of love. Remember now, we're observing, we're trying to discern, we're trying to meditate on the manner of love that God has bestowed upon you. And we ought to be excited about it. When we realize, and the only way that we can truly behold is to understand where we were, what we are, and what we deserve. What we deserve. And then maybe we can more fully understand and more fully appreciate the love that he hath bestowed upon us, the manner of love. Beginning in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now listen to this. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Behold, what manner of love. He laid down his life for you, for the sheep. Where would we be had he not laid his life down? Where would all of humanity that has passed on before us, where would they be right now had Christ not laid down his life? Well, they really wouldn't be sheep, I don't guess, if he didn't lay down his life. Wouldn't matter. We would all be there. Where would we be? And all those who've passed on before, where would they be had Christ not laid down his life? In particular, he says, laid down his life for the sheep. You know where they would be. Lost, damned, condemned. Behold, what manner of love. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now listen to this, verse 18. Think about this. Oh yes, there was a covenant made before the foundation of the world. I realize that. But listen to this. No man taketh it from me. Christ willingly gave up his life. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, I really would like to get to that before we get through. Probably won't be today. That we should be called the sons of God. Here is the result of this manner of love. That we're called the sons of God. The sons and daughters of God. The children of God. That's the result. Behold this manner of love. And meditate on what you should do in response to what John is writing over there. But listen to what Jesus says. Therefore doth my Father, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Christ willingly laid down his life. Christ willingly suffered. Not only on the cross, but he suffered all the way to the cross. Oh, what he suffered before he ever got to the cross. I dare say, you know, sometimes death is a release, is it not? I dare say that when Christ gave up the ghost, in a sense, I understand he was God manifest in the flesh. I understand he was the Son of God, but he was a man. He was a man just as surely as he was God, he was a man. And I dare say that when he gave up the ghost, when he died on the cross, it was a release. It was a relief. Can we imagine the sufferings that he endured, even on the way to the cross, much less on the cross? But he willingly laid down his life for the sheep. He says, "But I lay it down of myself." Nobody took it from him. Those Roman soldiers, those Jewish leaders, none of them took his life from him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you. He says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon. Let's go to Ephesians on our way back. Towards where we started, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, another familiar place, but we're trying to get at this, the thought of this manner of love, for us to understand more fully this manner of love, and how that the most pure manifestation of that love is that Christ died for us, and that God loved us, not that we love God, and not that whatever we might do in our service to him. But no matter what we might do trying to worship him, whatever we might try to do in his name, whatever you and I might suffer for his name's sake, whatever may happen to us as we try to serve and worship the Lord here in this life, he deserves all the glory and honor that might come from that. He deserves all that. What did we deserve? We surely didn't deserve his love. We deserved right the opposite. But in Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar passage. This is part of our understanding of what this manner of love is all about. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now listen to this. among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. All of us had this, all of us have experienced, all of us were engaged in this manner of life. All of us have had the manner of life that Paul is describing here in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, because you are no different. Coming into the world, we were no different than anyone else. We were by nature. And when did we receive that nature? Oh, it wasn't sometime later on when we began to understand right from wrong. It was when we were conceived in our mother's womb. That's when we received this nature. And by nature, we were the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, we were no different from anyone else. By nature, we deserved hell. By nature, we deserved to be cast out forever. We deserved the wrath of God by nature. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. For his great love wherewith he loved us. For the sake of his love, if you will. Not for any other reason. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I want to get something else out of this book of Ephesians before we leave it. And it's in chapter 3, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's begin to move on a little bit further. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Are you thinking, are you meditating? Are you considering this manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon you? In chapter 3 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 14, Paul says, "For this cause." Now Paul has been writing about the ministry that he's been given, that's been laid upon him. Okay, that's a very general description. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is praying. This is Paul's prayer. Verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom," that is, of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, "it is of Christ that the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you," this is what we want, in beholding this manner of love, we want to meditate on what is our response to this? What is our response to this great manner of love that he's bestowed upon us? "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory," this is Paul's prayer, "to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love," that we would have this foundation, the foundation laid, the love of God, being rooted and grounded in that, to draw our sustenance from it, to draw our strength from it, to draw from the love of God everything that we need, not only in order to sustain our lives, but to grow. Being rooted and grounded in love. Now listen to this. Talking about you, talking about the saints, talking about us, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Here's what we want to meditate on. This is what we want to comprehend. This is what we want to understand with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? Paul's prayer is that we would comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. The love of God is broad enough to reach every elect child of grace in every age. It's long enough, it's from everlasting to everlasting. The love of God is deep enough to reach the lowest estate. You've been there, I have. And it's high enough to take us on to heaven. Paul says in every direction, he would have us to comprehend the love of God The love of God that has, think about it, in every direction, that has engulfed us, that surrounds us, is bestowed upon us, and it surrounds us. It leads us, protects us, motivates us, sustains us. Paul says, I want you to comprehend that. I want you to understand that. I want you to behold, John would say, behold this manner of love. And to know the love of Christ, now listen to this, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer. What a prayer that we would be filled with all that. Now, not filled with the fullness of God in the sense that Christ was the fullness. And the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ. Not in that sense. But Paul is talking about our experience while we live here in the world. Experiencing the kingdom of God to the fullest. And it begins and is absolutely necessary that it continues, that we come to a greater and greater comprehension, a greater understanding of the love of God. The love of God that surrounds us, that is within us. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You know, knowledge can only take you so far. Knowledge can only take you so far. And isn't that what Paul, I think Paul said something to that effect in 1 Corinthians 13. He might have all knowledge, all understanding, but without charity, it was a tinkling cymbal. It was a sounding brass. It meant nothing. It was just a noise. Knowledge can only take us so far. Knowledge is good. Knowledge is needful. It's necessary, but it can only take us so far. The love of God, the love of Christ, carries us further than that. The love of Christ carries us further than what the knowledge of Christ can do. We may know about Christ. We may know everything about it. Someone was sharing something that they had memorized from Scripture earlier this morning. And that's great. We can memorize it. We can learn it. We can have all the head knowledge that we can possibly have. But the love of Christ passes that. It passes knowledge. And literally that means to take us beyond what we would normally go, just based on strictly on our knowledge. The love of Christ does that. The love of Christ takes you places, leads you to do things that you would not normally do just based on the knowledge that you have. Because sometimes, based on the knowledge you have, you look at a situation and all you can see is the external. You're not thinking about what God is doing. All you're thinking about is what you can see. The love of Christ takes us beyond what we can see and moves us on into areas that we would not otherwise be involved in. The love of Christ, that's what we want to understand. The love of Christ, which passes knowledge, Paul said, or John says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, we should never expect, just a thought, just a passing thought here, we should never expect to become too friendly or too popular in the world. We should never expect that. The world knew not Christ. The world couldn't associate with Christ. The world couldn't understand this man. The world couldn't understand the things of Christ. So don't expect that they would know anything or associate themselves or consider you to be very popular if you are following the love of Christ. He says, beloved, verse 2, back in 1 John 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. I'd like to break that expression down, but we don't have time. And so we'll come back to it, but let's just read. But beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not later, not at some future point, now. Now are we the sons of God. Now you have eternal life. Right now you have this inner man. Right now you have something created within you, created in Christ Jesus. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Right now. Now are you the sons and daughters. Now are you a child of God. Now are you. It's definite. It's certain. It's sure. Never to be taken away from you. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we're looking for another appearing, aren't we? We're looking for the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be living as though that appearing is imminent. And it is. It's imminent. In other words, it's going to happen. He's going to return. Oh, I know it's been 2,000 years, but he's going to return. Some of the brethren, some of the saints at Thessalonica thought it was going to be just in a few more days after he ascended, after his resurrection. They thought, well, it was just going to be a few days, a few years. It was going to be right there in their lifetime. They were convinced of that, and they began to live not quite like they should have been living to continue on in the world. Paul said, no, we're to live knowing that he is coming back, but realizing we don't know when it will be. We're to be living knowing that his return is imminent, but we don't know that it will be immediate. We're looking for that second appearing. We're looking for the coming of Christ. We're looking for him to come back with that voice of the archangel and with the trump of God and with a shout. We're looking for him to come back. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know exactly how it's all going to take place. We don't know how it's going to be. We don't know what we're going to look like. We don't know exactly how that change is going to take place. We don't know how it's all going to unravel. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Won't you be satisfied with that? We shall be like him. And that's what the psalmist David said. When I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. But we're not to be satisfied until then, are we? We're to be satisfied with Christ, but not satisfied with ourselves. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Meditate on that. When you think about the manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon you, and whatever you may have gotten, if you got anything at all from the message today, how is that going to affect you tomorrow? How will the words you've heard today affect you tomorrow, the next day? Will we spend enough time reflecting on this manner of love that it will have an effect on how we live every day?